Samba team members at CERNET, and apparently he's telling us something about fruits.
Yeah, about fruit. Right, so welcome to... Please? Fruit, yeah. Some fruits, yeah, some fruits in the room. So welcome to my talk. My name is Ralf Böhme from the Samba team. I work at CERNET, and in my talk I have two parts essentially, and the first part is about a brief recap about what we added in the last 1 or 2 years for O6 clients in order to improve support, be faster, be better, and add stuff for O6 clients. And the second part is about tests. And so if you add tests, if you add new features, you better add tests, because otherwise, taken shamelessly, I just found this recently. better implement test cases, because otherwise you think you have this great new stuff, great new features, and you have no problems. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. So the first part is just a brief recap about the state of O6 support and what we did in the last year or two. We added a bunch of things to Samba. One thing is we added support for Apple's SMB2 protocol extensions. It's a codenamed AAPL. The second thing is Spotlight, and the third thing is interoperability with NetAttock. So first, AAPL. So what is AAPL? It's just the name of an SMB2 create context, as you would find the string AAPL on the wire. And I just, when I started working on that stuff, I just needed a name, so I used that name to refer to this set of extensions Apple uses in their client and servers, to refer to this by this name. It's not used by Apple, so I just needed a name, so I stick by that. So the question is, how is it used? It's not used like other create contexts for every create on a file. Whenever you open a file, you have a create, and you'd attach that create context. It's not used that way. Instead, it's just when the client does the first connection to the server and does a tree connect, it does a create on the base directory, and it attaches the create context, and it does a capability negotiation. So it has some abstract blob in the request, and it gets a response. And in this blob, Apple defines some structures in order to negotiate capabilities between the client and server. So on the next slide, this is taken from Apple's source code, public source code release from the client. Yeah, we have a bunch of things there. I'm not going into details here. It's something like supports readdir attributes, supports copy file. It's Unix-based, whatever that means. Supports NFS, ACEs, and so on. So I'm not giving the technical details of what all this actually does. Instead, I'm going to just shortly say, what does it do for us? What does it buy us? And these are two things, I think. First, faster finder browsing, and second, what I call poor man's POSIX extension. So just a small subset of POSIX features Apple would have liked to have for their client and servers, because they are essentially POSIX or Unix systems. So first thing, faster finder browsing. And this can really make an enormous difference, especially if you have CDDB clusters or high latency network links. I've seen cases where this went up from, if you have a directory with many files, 5,000 files in this example, I've seen it go up from taking 2 minutes to 5 seconds. So you have a directory, you go on the client, you open the finder window on the directory, and without this, you just sit there waiting 2 minutes. And this then with the APL extension just can go up to 5 seconds. So and of course it reduces the load seriously on the server, and it works because it changes the way the OSX client retrieves metadata from the server. Without APL, the client does an SMB2 find request to get the list of files from the server, and then, and that's the bad part, it does individual requests per file in order to read the metadata it is interested in. And with the APL, we just have a single find request to get the directory contents and the response, and we're done. So how can this be? It turns out they repurposed structure elements and the file ID both dir information. So they didn't even invent a new info level. They just repurposed fields. One is the short name field, which are 16 bytes. And if this extension is negotiated, the server sends different information, specific metadata the Apple client is interested in. And yeah, so second thing, APL gives us this Promans POSIX extensions. With this, the client can read the POSIX mode, user ID and group ID from the server, and it can also change the mode. And this is done by using SMB2 get or set info requests with security descriptors that use special ACEs with SIDs with a prefix 1588. I think that was done by Microsoft for services for Unix, NFS, or identity management, something like this. And it goes like that. You append 1 and the user ID, or 2 group ID, or 3 and then the Unix mode. And this is sent in order to, when reading the security descriptor, or when sending the security descriptor, which then only works with a mode. And this way, the client is at least able to get a small subset of POSIX stuff it requires across the wire. So next is Spotlight. We added Spotlight. What is Spotlight? Just a brief introduction to anyone who's not familiar with that. Spotlight is essentially, you have to have a searchable index of files and their metadata. This means on your computer, you have to have something that takes all the files, extracts interesting metadata and puts it into a database so that later you can search it, either locally on a Mac or remotely on a server. On a server, how do you send the search request to the server? Of course, you use an SMB connection. In the SMB connection, what do you use? Of course, MSRPC as transport. The client just takes its search request, throws it in the blob, sends it across the wire as MSRPC. The name of the pipe is MDS-SVC, which I think is metadata search service or something like that. And it's essentially the same as Microsoft Windows Search Protocol, which Noel from SUSE is working on for adding support to Samba. Unfortunately, he's not here. So, what's Samba's role in this? Samba is on the server just a search query proxy, which means it gets the search queries from the client and just puts them forwards them to someone else. So who's the guy? Where are the search requests forwarded? And who does the hard work? And on the server at the moment in Samba, we have support for just one backend, and that is GNOME Tracker. It works really cool, surprisingly well. I'm using it a lot here on my system as well. I have all the Microsoft documentation in a Linux VM where I run Samba on. Whenever I have to research anything in the documentation, I just open Spotlight and I search on the SMB mode in the documentation, and it actually finds results, so it's really cool. It has a full text index of all the PDFs. Yes, so there are some limitations to GNOME Tracker, not to Samba, but to GNOME Tracker. And that is, it's not cluster aware. It can't be really clustered. If you would cluster it, every node would have to index the clustered file system individually, which is, of course, not really the clever thing to do. And by design, the primary focus of Gnome Tracker is desktop, not a big enterprise server. So I don't know if you throw petabytes of data at it, I don't know if it would cope with it. So there are possible other backends. And this includes Apache Solr or Elasticsearch. Both are Java enterprise classy applications, which are used in enterprises a lot for really big data. They are targeting servers, enterprisey clustered, so very nice. We don't support that yet, but by incident a few months ago, I found code that added support for Apache Solr in the source code release of an unnamed NAS vendor. And I was really amazed that they did this. It's very, very cool. I've never used it. I just found the code. I've put it in the Git repository on my private Samba or Git repository in a branch. It would be really cool to work on this in order to integrate this upstream, but it will need some serious integration work. Next is interoperability, which refers to interoperability on the server, not just NFS. There's also still NetAtalk-based AFP servers. AFP is the protocol that was used a very long time by Apple, the primary file sharing protocol, which has been superseded, replaced now by SMB on Apple clients. But many, many, many still run NetAtalk-based or even other AFP servers. There are proprietary products, or you can, of course, run AFP server from Apple itself. So the idea was to add a VFS module to Zamba that was renamed from initially VFS Apple to VFS Fruit, that adds interoperability sugar in order to be compatible with NetAtalk, because NetAtalk stores some set of metadata in here, and Zamba stores it somewhere else. So the idea was have a common place where we read and write the metadata that's relevant for six clients. File name encoding, and of course cross protocol locking. And this mostly works. There are some non-issues mostly related to extended attributes. They are not really compatible between NetAtalk and Zamba. There's a problem, and there's a problem when converting in the Zamba volume. When you add VFS Fruit the first time, some OSX metadata can be lost, so this needs to be addressed. Yes, so we have great new features. So how many tests do we have for this stuff? Not so many. And then it's good. We have no tests, we have no problems. So let's see. This is taken from running the Zamba test suite last week. You see a number here, 20,000. So this is running the Zamba test suite, which has a huge set of tests. Not only file server, but of course Active Directory, low-level libraries, and so on and so forth. So only a subset of this is actually testing SMB protocol conformance, or what Microsoft calls the MS-FSA specification, the file system access layer, and so forth. But still, thousands of tests targeting file server conformance, which essentially ensure, by conforming to this test and to the specification, that we provide Windows semantics, which essentially means we provide Windows file system semantics, NTFS, across the SMB protocol on the network. But is that really of interest for OSX clients? Because for OSX clients, what matters is OSX semantics and not Windows NTFS semantics. So when OSX exports its own local file system, which is called HFS Plus, via SMB, it does not care about conforming to any specification. It just dumps local file system behavior on the network. And as a result, it deviates from the specification, and this is where the fun begins. And of course, all this is undocumented. There's no specifications, which makes writing tests a little more difficult. But it's just an excuse. So, yeah, the shocking truth, no tests, many bugs. So in the course of the last year, I ran into a set of very interesting bugs. Some very stupid, very simple things. Just copy a directory from the client to the server. A problem with resource forks. Rename behavior. And file IDs, which will be the most interesting one. So, bug number one, copying a directory to the server. So, this was generally working, of course. I mean, that's a simple thing to test, to do in a test, in a manual test. That's the first thing you would try. If you add a new feature to the server, then, of course, you mount, and you maybe copy a directory to the server, and if it still works, you go, yeah, I did it. Success. So, but with this specific OS X version, a customer, someone complained, hey, I get an error. It doesn't work anymore. So what happened? When implementing VFS Fruit, I did some decent amount of research on OS X semantics. And what I thought I found was that if the OS X client creates a file, just a naked file, and then the client would ask the server, hey server, is there a specific named stream on this file? No, present. This special stream is called the AFB info stream. And I thought I had found out that the server would always tell the client, yes, here's the stream. It's 60 bytes in size and contains some set of metadata. It's there, here you can have it. Unfortunately, I was wrong. I really wonder how it could have worked so long and only then break with a specific OS X release, but it did. And yeah, I learned a lesson. Just some research and then hacking something together without tests is not that good. So next bug, resource forks. So what's a resource fork? A resource fork is a second data stream that can exist per file in the Mac HFS Plus file system. And when the client copies this across the SMB connection to a server, it's mapped to a named stream. Given that the server connection tree connect supports named streams, and the name of this special stream is the AFB underscore resource stream. So what went wrong? Server a Mac. Client one created a file and then created this special stream on the file. Client two comes along and says, hey, server, I call stat, so the Unix system call, which is then, of course, translated across to SMB, get info requests or whatever, and stat the stream. So what would you expect now? The shocking answer is, it doesn't exist. As long as no data is written to this special stream, and then this only happens with this special stream, other clients won't see it. Yeah, so this was easy to fix, and while I was at it, I added a bunch of tests that cover this specific area. With these are the two special Apple streams. This is always 60 bytes inside. This can be of any size, but they have completely different semantics than Microsoft specifies in MSFSA for streams. Bug number three, rename behavior. So the thing is, Windows doesn't allow renaming of directories as soon as somewhere down the directory tree there is any open file. Of course, POSIX does allow it, it doesn't care. Of course you can rename it. So does OS X. So that's a problem for OS X clients. Some, of course, conforming to the Microsoft specification doesn't allow it as well. And it makes OS X clients extremely unhappy because it happens very frequently that because the OS X Finder, when it opens a window for a directory, you would always open a special file inside this directory and keep it open. So, of course, then, subsequently, any other client can't rename any directory up the tree anymore. And this happens against Samba, this problem. Will happen also against Windows, but it doesn't happen against an OS X SMB server. So the solution was optional. Solution was obvious. Just add optional POSIX directory rename behavior, which is disabled by default, so we don't mess up with Windows clients or anyone who don't want to use this. But it's enabled 406 clients by virtue of the APL negotiation. So the server knows, hey, that's an OSX clients because only OSX clients will negotiate this capability via AAPL. So OSX clients happy now? Nope. Yeah, unfortunately, it turns out there's a bug in the OSX SMB kernel client, which triggered the following problem. You have as soon as you have an application with an open file, someone else renames the directory, tries to save, dead. And this happens with OSX SMB server as well. So it's really a problem in the, either in the, it can't work at all, although it's a problem in the client. I've reported this to Apple. I haven't heard back. I think I never hear back from them. It's a sort of Bermuda Dryak for, yes, Ara. So, okay, workaround. Let's just add another option to disable this directory name behavior again. So either way, it hurts. You get complaining users one way or the other. If you have it enabled or not, you can choose. The lesson learned here is when you know upfront that you're dealing with a client that expects POSIX semantics or OSX semantics at all, which includes POSIX, then be systematic and write many, many, many tests to cover as much as you can in order to get it right. If you don't do this, you'll break. So bug number four, file IDs, which is my favorite one. So imagine you have a server, two clients connected to the server, and they both run an unnamed application working on a file. Both have it open. They probably use some sort of locking. They may use oplocks, I don't know. Although OSX clients, I think, rarely use oplocks, if at all. So they work, they save, they work, they save, boom, and the file is gone. So, my God, what happened? I looked for locking gone wrong or oplocks, or what can it be? And after, I think this was first reported last year from someone who had this problem that saving files were gone. But it took another customer this year until I got the idea what might be at play here. And that's file IDs. So what are file IDs? File ID, just a number that uniquely identifies a file, uniquely, or directory, of course. This somebody, or from any SMB server, this file ID information is returned as part of file metadata in find or get info requests from the server. OSX has the name ZNID for this stuff, catalog node ID. They call it ZNID. And so, yeah, what went wrong? What's the problem? The thing is, HFS Plus, it doesn't reuse ZNIDs over the lifetime of a file system. Side note, only 32 bits, so better don't create too many files. File system full, I think you will get an error. You have to copy, yes. It won't wrap. You have to copy all your files to a different file system and start fresh. I don't know.
It's your fault, buying your computer.
Yeah. It's your fault. You created too many files. You shouldn't have done it. You created too many files. You shouldn't have done it. User fault. Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's not even 64-bit or something. Yeah, it's a 32-bit counter.
For servers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so you better don't receive too many messages, or I don't know if they could trigger a file ID allocation. Probably not. Oh, but yeah, so. And in the kernel, file system object lookup uses this the ZNID file ID as primary key. So as we may know from database theory, better don't mess with your primary keys. So what do we do in Xamarin for this file ID? Of course, we use the file system inode number. Is that a good idea? Inode numbers are reused. So you have a file, you created a file, inode number 10, you delete it, you create another file, and probably, possibly, the file will have the same inode number, number 10. But it's a different file, after all. So what happened? I had a network trace and looked at the network trace of the client that hit saved. What did it do? It just queried the file ID of the original file, and then it deleted it. File, go away. But why? Well, it just the application used a three-step save process, just standard save to temp file, remove the original file, and then rename the temp file to original file. So it's just a very common save pattern. And somehow, this save iteration from the client before must have then it mixed up the file ID that was then returned to this client. The client got confused, maybe it thought this is just a temp file. I remove it. It removed it. Yeah. So the good news here is that there's a workaround available because the client can be configured not to trust the file IDs from the server. This fixes this. Even without it, it doesn't have to do anything with the APL or anything. Then it just, it won't work. It just causes fun, and you can't get rid of it. But I said, you can fix it on the clients. I know, I was trying to talk to Apple about this, and I sent them emails, but again, Bermuda Dreieck. Bermuda Triangle there, yeah. So, yeah, but it appears the problem, I have no idea how they could have fixed it, but I think a customer reported that they tested with a newer OS X release and that the problem was, they didn't see it anymore on newer OS X releases, but that may have just been, it doesn't happen on every save, so maybe they were just lucky. I don't know. So, yeah, and... Yeah. No, that's not, no, they didn't. Yeah, they're still using it, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how you would have been able to test for this, so, yeah, some things you just can't test. So, all right, we had a bunch of bugs we found and fixed over the last year. And so now, hopefully, we have tests, so we won't break again. And it turns out, yeah, this is mid-2015, which shows the number of tests we had at that time for this OS X specific stuff, and it has a number 14, but just seven tests, with where every test is run twice, so seven tests, essentially, last year. So fast forward to today, and hey, 38, so by two, 19 tests, so we've improved. Great. 19 tests, 14 of those tests actually cover really what I call these OS X specification deviations, which is still not that much. So, and the most shaming thing is we have zero tests covering Spotlight. So that's the end of my talk, essentially, and the bottom line. We need more of this fucking test to get this right.
So have you tested the OS client against the Windows server and found the same kind of issues, or does it behave differently?
The file ID issue?
Well, file ID or other things like that. I mean, the difference in semantics in OS 10 seems to be
Manual
dramatic.
Testing or running our automated tests against Windows servers, yeah.
The question is if you run the OS 10 client against the Windows server, have observed similar issues or... You haven't done that.
Yes. You will have similar issues. But I'm not sure about this, for example, this file ID related bug, because Windows will return the NTFS file ID internal information, which is, I think, NTFS doesn't reuse IDs for files. But
they have much larger IDs, and we don't support the Apple extensions.
That's not relevant. That's not related to Apple extensions.
Okay.
You will run into this problem even without Apple extensions.
Right.
just any generic SMB server, returns this file ID information to the client, and the client will use it in, as primary key in the internal cache of file system cache.
So it's not a special extended?
Nope. No. It's a generic bug. Yeah, that you can hit everyone.
Ralph, are there any? Are there any AAPL extensions that you can see in the client source code that we don't yet do, or do we do everything different than?
No, I just checked, checked last week. Yeah, no, we there's this the screenshot there from the kernel headers. It's just
oh, that's
from,
great
from last week, and we have them all. Yeah,
congratulations. That's,
yeah,
that's very good.
That's quite cool.
So, any common ground with the Apple extensions or like Chmod and so on to you to reuse in the Unix extensions?
No, yeah, no, no, don't, oh. No. Yeah, yeah, okay. we really should do our own. I think, yeah, it doesn't make sense to ride the Apple horse. Yeah, yeah, not just what I think. Yeah, no one else. Okay. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ralph. By the way, I heard that if you have trouble with Apple products, you can hire some guys, or what the FBI did, and for a couple of $1 million, they will solve your problems.